Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read a familiar passage of Scripture out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, a passage we've read, heard many times before. And I'm reading out of the Living Bible translation, which is the first Bible translation that I began to use after I came to Christ years ago. One day, an expert on Moses' laws came to test Jesus' orthodoxy by asking him this question: "Teacher, what does a man need to do to live forever in heaven?" Jesus replied, "What does Moses' law say about it?" "It says," he replied, "that you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself." "Right," Jesus told him. "Do this and you shall live." The man wanted to justify his lack of love for some kinds of people, and so he asked, "Which neighbors?" Jesus replied with an illustration. A Jew going on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes and money and beat him up and left him lying half dead beside the road. By chance, a Jewish priest came along, and when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A Jewish temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but then went on. But a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw him, he felt deep pity. Kneeling beside him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with medicine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his donkey and walked along beside him till they came to an inn where he nursed him through the night. The next day he handed the innkeeper $2 $20 bills and told him to take care of the man. "If his bill runs higher than that," he said, "I'll pay the difference the next time I am here." "Now," Jesus continued, "which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the bandit's victim?" The man replied, "Well, the one who showed him some pity." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." You know, after reading that passage from the Gospel of Luke, listening to Jesus tell that familiar story of the Good Samaritan, we could stop. That's it. It's a lesson as to the very essence of the purpose of our lives, to use the platforms of our lives in this one time around that we each have to lift the lives of others around us. There's a story which always comes to mind when I read that passage, a story I heard a number of years ago of a man who may or may not have been familiar with Jesus' lesson that we just read. But clearly, as you'll see, he lived it out to the very end. As I heard the story, it was a cold night in February 1980 in New York City, when 27-year-old Paul Keating was walking home in Manhattan's Greenwich Village area, where he saw two armed robbers mugging what appeared to be a college student. Keating, a gentle, much-admired photographer for Time magazine, had every reason to avoid the trouble that he saw before him. He didn't know the student being mugged. It was cold out and he needed to get home. No one would ever know that he was even there, and he was outnumbered and outarmed. He had nothing to gain and much to lose by taking the risk, and yet he ran over to the troubled student and jumped on the muggers. In the ensuing struggle, the student was able to escape and ran to a nearby delicatessen to call for help. Moments later, two shots cracked in the night air, and the muggers fled. When help arrived at the scene, Paul Keating was found lying dead on the pavement. The city of New York posthumously awarded him a Medal of Heroism. Among other things he said at the ceremony, Mayor Edward Koch shared this, quote, "Nobody was watching Paul Keating on the street that night. Nobody made him step forward in time of crisis. He did it because of who he was," close quote. My friends, what we do in life is important. Our jobs, our careers, our callings, but this should be the reason why those are important, because they provide us with a platform of opportunity to show who we really are. Because who we are, my friends, is much more important than what we do, what records we set, the money we make and stuff we have, the awards we get, or the image that we try to portray in the world of who we are. Every day, moments present themselves which give us a chance to show who we are or who we should be or continue to become. In the midst of joy and fear-filled moments, as well as disappointments that we experience, and tragedies or times of defeat, and also in times where we're provided with an opportunity to meet a need and to change a life without judgment, without conditions or requirements, just to help. It's all a part of the platforms, the roles that God has given us. How we respond to others and to what happens to us and to what we face tells others a lot about who we are inside and how far we need to go to be more like Christ, or maybe just for starters, to be more like the Good Samaritan in Christ's parable, loving and lifting people God brings before us. On April 3rd, 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. delivered what would turn out to be his last speech, most familiarly known by the name "I've Been to the Mountaintop." The next day, on April 4th, 1968, he was assassinated. Dr. King was in Memphis, Tennessee to address what was going on with the Memphis sanitation strike. As he was speaking that night, he continued to call for an end to the injustices experienced by people in general, and in particular on behalf of the 1,300 sanitation workers on strike against the city of Memphis, seeking better pay and decent working conditions. And as always, when he called on folks to support their brothers and sisters, whether directly affected or not, he always called them to do so nonviolently, to simply be there. As he was nearing the end of his remarks, Dr. King paraphrased the story of the Good Samaritan from the Gospel of Luke that we read just a moment ago. He engaged in his own speculation with the audience as to why perhaps the Jewish priest and the Jewish Levite might have passed by the Jewish man who was in need. It's been suggested that the priest and his temple assistant, the Levite, were too busy or self-consumed with their own stuff, their own agenda, perhaps even late for another appointment or meeting. Those all may have been true. It certainly happens with us, doesn't it? But also the truth was that the journey they were on was in a very dangerous area across a hazardous, winding, steep stretch of road which started out at about 1,200 feet above sea level in Jerusalem. And then 20 minutes or so later, when you arrived in Jericho, you were at 2,200 feet below sea level. It was a stretch of road which during those days was called the Bloody Pass. Understandably, they may have feared for their own safety. They may have thought the thieves who beat up the Jewish man and left him for dead on the side of the road were still around, or that the man was faking to get them to stop so he could rob them. Whatever it was, Dr. King pointed out to those gathered that night in Memphis that neither the priest nor the Levite stopped to help him. Only the Samaritan man, a man of a different race, not a friend, but a man who was despised and hated by the Jews, would stop. And so Dr. King shared this possibility as to why the three who came upon the wounded man acted the way they did. He suggested that maybe the first question both the priest and the Levite asked themselves was, if I stop to help this man on this dangerous road, what will happen to me? And they both then passed by. But then the Good Samaritan came along, and he reversed the question and thought to himself, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? And he stopped to help the hurting man, just like Paul Keating did when he jumped in to help the student. That's the question, my friends, which should always be before us. The question is not, if I stop to help someone in need, what will happen to me? The question instead must always be, if I do not stop to help someone in need, what will happen to them? That's the question all the time that we must ask and then answer by saying, yes, I'll help. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about God and his example, reminding us that it's about others, always. We can all see ourselves in the story of the Good Samaritan, can't we? We can all feel ourselves being called forth by the call of Martin Luther King Jr. from that night so long ago in Memphis when he was calling others to stand with all the Memphis sanitation workers who were being treated unjustly. And we can all see ourselves, probably at times in the past, in each of the three roles depicted in that story of the Good Samaritan: priest, Levite, and Good Samaritan. Maybe even in the role of the Jewish man in need, having been beaten and robbed on the road between Jerusalem and Jericho. But the role which Christ always calls you and me to is the role of the Good Samaritan. The choice Christ always calls us to make is the one made by the Good Samaritan to stop and say, "Yes, I will help you." Whose assistance have you come to through the years when confronted with a similar choice, when confronted with someone in their moment of need, someone you knew or didn't know? Maybe even when it was difficult or uncertain, dangerous, or would cost you something or was inconvenient. And in those situations where you or I didn't choose to help, what held us back from doing so? Our platforms, my friends, our roles, and what we do with them should define the best of who we are, as Christ expects of us, and moments that will make a difference, not only in the lives of those around us, but also will make a difference in our lives forever. Let me pray for us. Father, we've read that story a lot. We've heard that story a lot. Help us to put ourselves in that story, to be the Good Samaritan, to be you, your hands, your heart, your feet, in every situation you place before us. Lord, there will be many of them today. Help us to be sensitive to them. Help us, please, not to pass by, but to be open and to help without requirements, without conditions, without judgment, those you put before us. Help us to be you, Lord, in all those settings. Thank you for this story that you told of the Good Samaritan. Help us to be that person. More than that, help us to be you every day. With your help, we know we can. In Jesus' precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.